I mean, I did have a cookie in my purse earlier, wrapped in a napkin, so it's pretty on brand. That's hashtag content for my hashtag brand.
Hi, and welcome to Hey Bestie. We're best friends, Sarah and Kim, and we're introverts who like to talk.
Normally on Hey Bestie, Sarah comes to you from Dallas, Texas, and I am at my house in Austin, Texas. But today I am in Dallas visiting Sarah, and we're podcasting in the same room.
What she's saying is it's two girls, one mic.
I'm not saying that.
You just said it, though, when you did.
I mean, that's literally what's happening, but right. I would not phrase it that way.
I can't help it.
For obvious reasons.
But I can't help it. So anyways, Kim is at my house, and we just got back from a foot spa, which... Have you ever been to a foot spa before or anything like that, really?
Never.
Yeah, I've gotten massages and, of course, like pedicures mm-hmm. where they do some massaging, but I've never gone to a place that's just a foot spa, like for your feet or really the lower half
of your legs. That's always the best part of the pedicure is when they like rub your feet.
Yeah, whenever I get someone that like isn't that good at that part, it's like the whole thing was a huge letdown because mm-hmm. like I can paint my own toenails. Like it's not really that hard. Like I could have done that part. But the part I really like is the massage and like... the relaxation that comes with it. So it's always a disappointment if it's like not a great situation. So the foot spa, I think, is a really nice change for that because it was 40 minutes and they were obviously very good at their jobs.
Very relaxing. A really relaxing environment. There's like soft music playing and they put like a towel over your eyes so that you can kind of just be distraction.
So you don't have to make awkward eye contact with someone who's rubbing your feet for 40 minutes.
And it's based in reflexology, so they hit all the different points and just do a really thorough, good job. And it's kind of interesting to feel different parts of your body, like, react to it while it's happening. I've had a massage before, like a full body massage, but never just focusing on the feet. And I found it really, really relaxing. Like, I kind of felt similar walking out of there to when I had a full body massage.
Yeah, me too. It felt really relaxing and everything felt better, even though it was just like from the knees down, basically, which is really nice.
Yeah. And I'm coming off of a foot injury about 2 months ago. And I know that you've had surgery on your ankle. So we both have like feet that could use some TLC. So that was really, really nice.
Yeah. So we decided we had talked about going there a while back when I realized this place was near my house. Whenever Kim visited, so since she came here, we went for it, and it was perfect timing. So last night we were sitting around and we were talking about how, I don't know, when you first notice that you're aging and how your body gets like, I don't know, you just turn into like a creaky old body mm-hmm. really early, like you're not really that old when that happens.
Yeah, hence the foot injury I just mentioned.
Yeah.
Like 10 years ago. Just regular walking around in shoes that maybe I normally wouldn't wear. I had a formal event. I was in a wedding, so I was wearing heels that I normally never wear any heels at all. So they weren't very high, but for me, it was still more heel than I would ever be used to. So walking around in those for an entire day really messed up my right foot. And I feel like 10 years ago, that would not have happened.
No, it would have just been sore that day and then just bounced back. Like you would just rest and then it would be fine. Like the next day.
Because my young body's like, I'm fine.
Yeah. It is strange how the things that you know you used to do all the time that didn't cause a problem, now you do, like, partially just that, and now it hurts. Like, I can still remember the first time I ever felt like, oh, this is because I'm getting older, was when I was 27, and I was throwing a toy down the hallway for my dog to chase, and I just did a completely normal, non-extreme move, and when I let go of the toy, I just felt it in my neck, like, inexplicably, like, my neck just gave out, basically. And then it hurt for, like, 5 days. I was in extreme pain.
I remember
pain.
You telling me about that. And didn't you have to, like, be immobile for, like, a day or two after that?
Yeah, we had to put, like, set like, up a camp in front of the TV. And then I was just, like, laying there, like, lying there. And the only thing I ever did was, like, I got up to go to the bathroom. And otherwise, I was just stuck there. And I couldn't turn my head at all.
I hope your dog appreciated your sacrifice.
Yeah, he didn't. He spent the whole time, like, staring at me and being annoyed that I wouldn't take him outside. I remember because our routine was changed and he was like, what's going on? But I remember like, thinking,
sorry, I have to be in one position.
Like, obviously I can throw dog toys like a zillion times before this, but something was just different. And after that, it's like, since then there have been so many other things that happen. Like, it's like you just wake up in the morning and you go to stand up and you're just like, my feet don't bend properly. Like, they're really, really stiff. And you need time to like warm them up, which is really, really weird because I'm pretty sure that wasn't a thing until recently.
Yeah, just getting out of bed was something that...
you took for granted when it was easy.
Yeah, for sure. Like, just waking up and having your joints and all of your limbs move freely and feel kind of loose. And now it's like I'm hobbling to the bathroom in the morning.
Yeah, until you can, like, slowly straighten out. It's like a good
5-10 minutes before I feel like...
Yeah.
Before I feel like I'm, like, loose and ready for the day. I'm definitely not, like, hopping out of bed and feeling okay. I'd probably injure myself if I tried to do that now.
Don't do that. It's too late for that. You've missed the window.
And just waking up in general, I know we talked about this last night, too. Opening your eyes for the first time in the morning, you feel like you can't focus and your eyes aren't opening easily at all. And you have to give yourself, like, a good 5-10 minutes for that, too, just to open your eyes and be able to focus on things. And before, it was like my eyes would pop open and I would just kind of roll over and get out of bed.
Maybe, yeah, like, it's strange. Move around
a little bit, stretch.
I swear people, like, don't really prepare you for that because we're not that old. So you just think, like, this stuff happens later, but it really doesn't, I guess. Like, there are just certain things that will start hurting or changing, or you just feel like your body can't handle as much, or it doesn't bounce back as fast. It just takes more time to recover from everything.
Yeah. Which, and it's definitely not like being like 70 years old and having consistent aches and pains. Yeah, of course. Or things like
that. It does go away once you warm up.
Which is, yeah, once you warm up, it goes away. But there are these little things that even if you stay fit or you're consistently
like doing, as people that are generally healthy and don't have any lingering issues, yeah, it's surprising how much just like standing up in the morning, I'll feel like my feet feel so stiff and it's like, okay, now I need to try and walk around until they like loosen up, which is a really odd.
And doing things like being on your feet all day or, like, going to that wedding, being at that formal event all day in those shoes, like, standing all day, like, knocks me out for, like, a couple days after that. Where before, it would just be, like, what you said, sore for, like, maybe a few hours. And then,
yeah, and you sleep it off and you wake up the next morning and you're good to go. Yeah, it's really strange. I thought that it would take longer to have that problem, but it appeared sooner than I expected.
Yeah.
So this is a warning to you. If you're, like, 25, enjoy it. And prepare for the moment when something happens and it really, really hurts and you realize, like, oh, this is it.
Yeah, enjoy the flexibility of your neck, turning to the right all the way.
We both realized recently neither of us can turn our head both directions to the full extent that we used to be able to. Or at least not without pain. Which is a little bit odd. I noticed that from driving, too, when I was trying to, like, turn my head to look at something while I was driving. And I would have to turn my head further than I wanted to, but because I needed to see something out the side, like, back window. And it was like, I either had to give up on being sure I could see there, or it was going to, like, hurt to turn a little bit more. It's like, this seems wrong.
I do think that our more sedentary lifestyles contribute to that a little bit, because most people nowadays do have jobs that require you to sit for long periods of time. So even if you're good about it, like getting up and stretching or taking breaks every 20 minutes to rest your eyes or walk around, even doing like yoga midday or, you know, trying to be really good about keeping your joints and your back, like taking care of that part of your body, you're still going to have a certain degree of...
Yeah, you still end up sitting at a desk on a computer for a certain amount of time that just your body is not super into.
Yeah, like I recently had my doctor tell me that I needed to start getting up way more during the day, and she suggested every 15 minutes taking a break to walk outside and walk for about 10 minutes or at least do some stretching every 15 minutes. And that's just not possible. It's not realistic in my job.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of jobs have like technically worked out what the allowable break time limits are, and that doesn't at all add up to be anywhere near what that would require.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's already sort of an uphill battle taking care of yourself in general with our, you know, 40-hour work weeks and everybody's busy and most jobs require you to sit for long periods of time at a computer, balancing that with trying to eat right and stay fit and take care of yourself. Even if you're doing all of that, aging in general is just going to start getting you.
Yes, I recently realized the reason for something that I had wondered. I mean, I wasn't like wondering about this forever, but I definitely wondered about the time and it stuck in my head was that... Talking about when you get out of bed and how stiff you are, I remembered when I was a kid that I figured out that my grandma, when she would put her bra on, she would hook it in the front and then she would like twist it around. And she could never, I mean, I didn't really ask her like why, because I mean, I'm not like in her bra details, but I don't do that. And then I realized like there were a few weeks ago, I needed to get dressed really quickly after I woke up and I literally could not reach the hook of my bra on like when it was on my back. right after I woke up. Because my shoulders, like, didn't have the flexibility to, like, reach behind me. So I had to do that. And then I thought of her and I was like, this one's for you, Grandma. Like, I don't
know. It wasn't just, like, a personal preference. It was a physical necessity.
Yeah. And I didn't realize. I just thought, like, that's how she does it. I don't know. But now I know. Because then if I had waited, you know, an hour or something, my shoulders would have been fine and it would have worked out. But it's like when I woke up, I didn't have the flexibility or the mobility to be able to do it. And I realized, I thought of her in that moment, like, oh, this is why. Which I just never knew. I just thought she had her own system.
Yeah. Recently, I started just wearing bras that you can pull on and, like, more comfortable stuff.
So you don't have to worry about the twisting.
Yeah. So there's no twisting. There's very minimal twisting, mm-hmm. if there has to be.
Yeah, it made me kind of think about, like, what, as I get older, if that's, like, just a little problem now where it's, like, when I wake up and am too stiff to be able to do it, then when I get older and it gets to be a problem that persists, like, more time throughout the day or something, I guess I'll have to, like, come up with a solution that doesn't... I just never thought about it before. It was really interesting to experience and realize that's what it was. I just hadn't made the connection until I... reach 34 years old, I guess.
Yeah, when you're young, you don't think, there is going to be a time in the future when I can't twist to hook my bra. You just don't think about that. You're so naive.
No.
So young.
So innocent. Kim is currently taking a stretch break while we are recording this episode because she had her legs bent, and now she is 35 years old, and it's too hard to sit like that for very long.
It is. I got really stiff. Yeah. I yearn for my younger days where I sat cross-legged all day long. At school, that was the preferred way to sit.
Yes. Yeah. And I sat like that all the time and didn't... It was perfectly fine. And now, like, my knees will start...
Yeah, watching TV at home, that's how I sat all day at school.
Mm-hmm.
You're just hanging out because it's so comfortable and easy for hours at a time. Just cross your legs under you.
Yeah.
And now it's like, ow. Like, my foot's asleep right now. I have stiffness, no circulation.
Oh my gosh.
How am I supposed to last for another, like,
we have so many more decades you're supposed to last. Yeah. I guess you just keep on...
getting parts replaced?
Adding this to you get parts replaced.
I mean, all of my older relatives have brand new hips and knees and shoulders. And
I mean, yeah, my husband's grandma has... one of his grandmas has two artificial hips. Because she, like, bicycled her hips into, like, oblivion, and then she just got new ones, and now she just walked around everywhere and she's fine. I mean, yeah, technology will take care of it. Medical advances
will take care of it. Oh, yeah, because she's the one that rode a bike everywhere, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, if you stay...
So she biked her hips into needing replacements, and then she got replacements.
And you would think that would keep her really fit, but at the same time, there's, like, this... You can't...
but your hip is
way.
Still, like, yeah, how still many miles out. Do you yeah, expect me to bike? Like, this is... these hips only have so many miles on
your
them.
Your body's just wearing out. Because I'll admit, I could be in better shape. Like, I could make a little bit more effort to... I try to do yoga at least once a day, but usually it's more for stress relief and to take the tension out of my shoulders and back from sitting all day at the office. Yeah,
to unclench your jaw.
Yeah, but I could do a little bit more strength training and probably should. But there's still going to be a certain amount of... aging that's just going to... I'm leaning on my arm now and it's falling asleep. This is awful.
You can't podcast, you're too old.
So normally, and this is a little bit of a behind the scenes of Hey Bestie.
I'll try and get a picture to add to the show notes.
Normally I podcast from a closet in my house, which is the only place in my house that doesn't have windows. And I live in a complex with other... I live in a townhome complex, so it's a little bit loud there sometimes. You can hear people outside and cars, and there's a freeway nearby. So there's a lot of sound that can get picked up on the microphone. So I'm usually in a closet, and I'm sitting in a chair kind of with my legs, like, tucked under with not much space to stretch out. So I'm used to being sort of stiff, but now I'm sitting on the edge of a bed. And this is nice with my legs outstretched.
And it presents its own problems.
Yeah.
But at least you're not in a closet. Wishing you had more airflow.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm in a closet right now. I sacrifice for this podcast.
You do. I think I took a screenshot of our FaceTime, our Google Hangout, whatever we were using at the time, of you in your closet once.
You did?
Yeah. You didn't know.
Were you just going to put it in the show notes and not tell me?
I mean, maybe. Who knows what I was going to do, but I definitely took it for posterity.
I do have a chair in there, I should say. I'm so thankful
fancy.
For my chair.
You are so fancy.
I'm really thankful for my chair. It helps. It's not great, though. But it has a wicker bottom because I don't know why. I need to get a better
chair. Why do you have a wicker bottom chair?
It's the only
chair. For recording in a closet with a microphone that picks up a ton of sound.
It's the only chair that fits in that closet. Oh. It's super narrow. But if I move at all, you can hear the wicker creaking. Which, why did chairs have wicker anyway? Wicker. Wicker is not one of my preferred materials for anything.
Wicker. I didn't even know you owned a wicker chair.
It's not mine. It came with the place. It was semi-furnished when I moved in. And it had wicker
chairs. You inherited someone else's wicker chair, mm-hmm. and now you podcast on it. Who knew?
You know who's not creaky and doesn't have any trouble reaching behind her back or doing feats of physical strength? Wonder Woman. The movie just opened this Thursday or Friday?
Friday, but we both saw it on Thursday. I'm not really sure how that works.
The movie just opened this Thursday night. I think Thursday night showings were the first ones, and we were both there on Thursday night.
Not together.
I wasn't visiting it, but we both saw it, and we're probably going to see it
again. Let me just tell you that my screening started 1 hour before Kim's, so I knew everything about the Wonder Woman movie 1 hour before her.
And she really, really wanted to send me spoilers, but I was in the movie, so I couldn't get them.
Yeah, that sucked.
So I've been really, really excited for Wonder Woman for about a year and a half, 2 years, ever since it was announced. Because, I mean, first of all, it's about time. Wonder Woman has been around for decades.
Three? Yeah, I think so. And I feel like she's been around a similar amount of time as a character like Superman.
Yeah, Superman predates Wonder Woman only by 3 years.
Who has had many, many, many versions and
oh, yeah, how many movies has Superman appeared in and been the star of?
And, like, TV series and all sorts of stuff.
Multiple people have played Superman. And there was that series in the 80s. I remember watching that with my grandmother, actually. The Wonder Woman series with Linda Carter, not Linda Hamilton. And there was that series on TV, but there's never been a movie that wasn't just made for TV. So a full-length feature film released in theaters starring Wonder Woman is a huge deal. And it's a little bit irritating that the studios haven't treated it as such, and they haven't put a lot of stock into this movie. And of course, a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's a female director and a female star. And there hasn't been a female-led superhero movie that has grossed very much money. They've all been considered flops. And then, of course, having a female director, studios just don't like to be very supportive of that in general either. So both of those factors have made the marketing campaign sort of fall flat. I know that was a thing on social media, like on Twitter, I saw a lot of people talking about that, how there wasn't a lot of marketing, even though this is a huge movie for DC.
Yeah, I felt like I heard about it a long time ago and saw some stuff, and then there was a teaser and a trailer, and then it kind of went away, and I was like, when is that coming out? And I looked it up, and it was much sooner than I thought, because I thought there would have been more going on around it at the time.
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge character that means a lot to a lot of people all around the world. Internationally, Wonder Woman is a character that is recognizable, that has been in DC Comics for a really long time. Obviously, she's one of the few really strong, really prominent female superheroes. So I feel like it's not really a gamble and shouldn't be considered a gamble to put a Wonder Woman movie out there.
Right. And newsflash to those Fox News dudes who said she wasn't patriotic or American enough. She's not American.
Oh, yeah, because she wasn't wearing red, white, and blue colors. She was wearing red, white, and gold, I guess, because her outfits were red, white, and gold.
She's not American, so
she's already way more American than she should be. She hasn't even been to America.
How patriotic do you expect her to be? So I really loved the movie. I thought it gave me that similar, I mean, I expected that I would like it, and then when the reviews started coming out, it looked like it was getting really, really amazing reviews, mm-hmm. and whenever Ghostbusters, the one with the women, came out, was that last year or the year before?
I think it was 2016.
Whenever it came out, I remember how it felt for me in the theater because I was really into Ghostbusters as a kid. Like, I really loved the movies. I loved the cartoon. I had, like, the car that my Barbies would ride in.
Did they fit in it? Because I always found Barbies, like,
no, they were, like, crammed in there. It was really awkward.
Their legs were always too long.
Yeah, so I was really, really into Ghostbusters, and I always wished that there was a woman Ghostbuster in there that I could be into, because I didn't want to be like the secretary or something. So I really liked it, and I remember last year what that felt like for me to go see the movie, just because of that like similar theme song, and it was just like that whole feel. You feel, I don't know, it connected to the old stuff enough where it reminded me of how much I loved it as a kid, and then seeing women playing it, it just felt really amazing in the theater, and I've seen it a bunch of times since then because it's like now one of my whenever politics are annoying me too much, I watch Ghostbusters and it makes me feel better kind of movies. And I just remember I actually looked up my tweets that have the word Ghostbusters in it the other day because I was wondering, because I felt like I remembered tweeting about it, how it made me feel. And it was just like a feeling that I don't really recall having in a movie theater before, or not recently at least, or not really sure. It just felt totally different to me and really, really important and special and just like a really big moment. And Wonder Woman is similar to that for me.
I would agree. I watched Ghostbusters again for the first time since I saw it in the theater recently and enjoyed it even more. It was great. I feel like it's a great homage to the original, and also to see four women in the role back when the original movie was made, that wouldn't have even been possible. Nobody would have even entertained that idea of it being four women. Having one woman and then three men probably would have been a huge deal.
Yeah.
And of course, going back to something we've talked about before, they probably would have thought that seemed equal to them. Like, having one woman and three men would be like an equal representation. Yeah,
but for me, just seeing Ghostbusters like that was just, it made my heart feel happy in a different way. It was just really,
it
was a big deal.
It was uplifting and awesome to see that, and to realize that I had never even let myself entertain the idea of being able to see that on a movie screen,
right?
Yeah, for female Ghostbusters,
right?
And when I realized that my brain was like opening up to that possibility for the first time ever, that's what made me emotional. Not the fact that it was these four specific women or the fact that they had remade this movie that I really loved, that certainly factored into it. But the biggest surge of emotion for me came from realizing that I never even thought that this was something that was possible. And side note, I recently listened to Mindy Kaling's first book, Is Everybody Hanging Out Without Me, the audio version, again, because I love it. So I just revisited it. I haven't listened to it since it came out in 2012. And she totally calls a female Ghostbusters, or she talks about the idea of it and how she would love to see
it. Do you think she had inside info?
I don't think she did, because it was 2012 and they didn't even announce it until late 14 or talk about with Paul Feig or Feig. How do you say his last name?
I don't know. I've never had to say
Paul Feig. Paul Feig.
I think
I've never heard anyone say it.
But I don't know that I've ever heard anyone say it.
But I don't think they started that conversation until late 2014, maybe 2015. So, and this was 2012, so, which means she could have even written the book in 2011.
True.
But she talks about how that would be really cool, and she names four people who I can't remember, four women that she would like to see in the role, one of them being her. But then she adds a part about how she knows that that would never be possible. Like, oh, this is just my dream, because I know that the core demographic for Ghostbusters is teenage boys, so they would never even consider doing this. Which, listening to that now, knowing that it did happen and it did become a thing,
that makes it really, even better.
Yeah, it really does, because we really have made progress, and that's progress. And the fact that we have Wonder Woman now, I mean, a woman directing, Patty Jenkins, who is the first woman to direct this big of a budget, $150 million movie. It's the biggest budget ever directed by a woman. That's a huge step in the right direction, and it's long overdue. So I still think that studios aren't giving the credit to female moviegoers and aren't really seeing the potential for lifting up female filmmakers and putting women at the forefront, especially in action movies and superhero movies specifically.
Right. And for me, the problem with that is that it doesn't really give you, it's like, if this movie were to flop, then you know that there wouldn't be another movie about a woman superhero like anytime soon.
Exactly. It just That's won't what I was exist. Getting at. Yeah. And so, they wouldn't give the chance to a female director again at all.
I feel like, right. And I feel like with all the superhero movies that have come out over the last several years, especially like Marvel really has had a ton. That whole time you always hear those little things like, why doesn't Black Widow get a movie? And all these characters in the Avengers get movies. And I mean, her backstory is really interesting and you could do tons of stuff with it, but like, where's her movie? Where's her movie? And then DC just came in and said, okay, we're going to do Wonder Woman.
Yeah, and there's always that excuse about like, oh, well, it doesn't make sense for Black Widow to have her own movie, because in the comics, she's a side character. But Scarlett Johansson is the highest grossing female actress in the world right now.
Yeah, so if someone can carry the movie, it's
again,
her.
That's not a gamble. It should be a sure
and
thing.
You don't have to make her be a side character. I mean, she's in the Avengers. She's right there next to all of them. Like, there's tons of backstory and things that you can fill in and all sorts of directions.
Ghost in the Shell notwithstanding. I mean, that's its own podcast.
That's its own issue.
This is pre-Ghost in the Shell that they were talking about possibly doing a Black Widow movie. And that for sure would have.
Yeah, and that just never came. And so then I'm really glad that DC went ahead and did Wonder Woman. But it's still frustrating to see that, to know that if it doesn't perform at a certain level, or the critics weren't giving it such great reviews, that would just be it.
Right now, it has a 94% of Rotten Tomatoes, and it's tracking at $100 million for opening weekend. So,
which is amazing.
And I'm crossing my fingers that it exceeds that. I think there's a good chance that it will. So, that's a really good sign.
I hope so. We are very likely to go see it again this weekend, I think. Probably tomorrow.
I want to go. Yeah, it was great. And we definitely recommend that you go see it if you haven't seen it yet. Oh, yeah. By the time of this podcast, it's like maybe... It's been a while.
If you haven't seen it yet, I'm pretty disappointed. So you need to, like...
You're not our demographic.
Remedy that. What are you doing? Right away. Like, you need to, like, get on that because there's a
problem. Are you really a Hey Bestie listener?
Why are you listening? Yeah. Yeah, it's freaking me out right now, thinking about you. So you should fix it. But one thing I loved, I noticed when I was watching Wonder Woman... So using Black Widow as an example again, when there is the token woman in a superhero movie who's a fellow superhero who's just as or even more badass than the men there... There's always those moments where you're like, why is the camera zoomed in on her ass for so long?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're like, what does this have to do? I can't see what else is going on. I'm just staring at her
butt.
The
male gaze aspect of the camera.
Yeah, or like all the boobs, and you're like, this really has nothing to do.
Where they're still clearly catering to...
Right, and it's really annoying. And I was watching, as I was watching Wonder Woman, I was obviously her outfit is not like covering... all of her skin or anything. There's plenty of stuff showing.
And she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah, but there was never a moment where I felt like the camera lingered on a part of her body. I remember noticing how strong her, like, shoulders and her arms looked, but then, like, obviously her boobs are, like, right nearby, but which someone else could have, like, really focused on, but I don't know. It was really great to watch a movie and just not be like, why am I staring at this person's butt for too long? That just has no factor in the story.
Yeah, that was great. And her outfit is sort of challenging. And it doesn't leave much to the imagination. So you could easily sexualize that.
Yeah, someone else could have done all sorts
of lingering... Which was the original intent.
Panning up and down and lingering on body parts and
but
stuff.
But when it focuses on her legs, it focuses on her armor. When it focuses on her torso, it focuses on her arms and shoulders.
Yeah, like her arms and shoulders look really strong. Face. Yeah, her face, yeah.
And the most powerful parts of the movie, it's always about her face and her words.
Yeah.
Which is just so great.
Which is just a really big difference. And it was really, really nice watching that. Just noticing over time... that there was something missing that I've gotten used to that was just a really, really nice change.
Yeah. And I think that having Zack Snyder direct... I don't know if he directed the very first... Well, actually, it was Christopher Nolan that directed the original, like, Batman movies when the DC universe was getting going. Or, I mean, I guess if you're going to go all the way back, you'd say Tim Burton. Yeah. But I don't know how much he doesn't really factor in as much. But yeah. I think Zack Snyder has really set the tone of those DC movies as far as, like, how the fighting looks and sort of, like, the colors and the general, like, feel of the cinematography. Going off of that, I feel like this movie still had a lot of that feel and tone. Like, it definitely felt like a DC action movie, but
With its own twist.
With its own twist and its own, you could tell that, like, Patty Jenkins gave it her own feel. Batman versus Superman and Man of Steel, they all have lower ratings. And I think you can definitely see that balance watching Wonder Woman of making it a DC movie, but making it a good DC movie that...
Right, taking
what
was
Wonder Woman and about Wonder Woman.
Taking what was already established as what's going to be their look and style and then putting their own spin on it and making it. I mean, you should always try to improve upon something that came before you if it's connected to it. Like, you have the feedback from the other ones and you can build on it after that. And I think there were really great improvements in it.
And I think it definitely benefited from the fact that there haven't been, like, 7 Wonder Woman movies before this one. Because, like, with Spider-Man, Superman, there's always the challenge of, oh, we've told this origin story so many times.
Right, like, how many times do you see Batman see his, or Bruce Wayne see his parents die in an alley? Like, it's, everybody knows that.
It gets old. You have to kind of skip ahead. And then when you have a movie starting, like, without that foundation, it kind of loses this buildup. And you see this becoming in Wonder Woman that you don't get with other superhero movies because this is the very first one. So you get, like, a really complete full arc of a story. And you see her grow and you see her realize certain things. And she learns and she changes. And she takes steps back during the movie. And there's just a lot of... character development that isn't necessarily shown in a lot of the other superhero movies, especially not DC movies. You don't
right,
see
and then it doesn't feel like a rehash because there has been so little done with her.
Yeah, there's not this really assumption new. That the audience knows everything about Wonder Woman. They start from the beginning and they tell her real, true origin story. And I really like Captain America, the first Avenger, the very first Captain America movie.
Me too.
And I feel like Wonder Woman kind of felt like that movie because it had, like, a really complete arc of the character. Like,
that's true.
About where
you see him when he's, like, starting out and he becomes Captain America.
Yeah, and it really informs the character and shows you, like, how they ended up the hero that they are now. And I really appreciate that. Like, having this, it makes you feel more connected to the character,
okay,
too.
Okay, slight side note. Captain America Civil War Kim.
Sarah. Sarah just got really serious.
Are you team Iron Man? Because I will end this episode and friendship to both you.
No, I would never even consider being team Iron Man.
Okay, thank you. I mean, I didn't think you really were, but it just made me think
that should be implied in my inherent character.
Well, it is for me due to my feelings on Robert Downey Jr., which we may discuss in a future episode. But I will never be team Iron Man. I don't care what he does.
You have some Robert Downey issues?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to go into them now, but no. I guess we'll like build suspense and leave that for another episode.
Yeah, yeah, for another very special episode.
Yeah, I'm not, I love Captain America.
Yeah.
So recently, because it's been, it was 3 weeks ago, Memorial Day, mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago?
Close.
On Memorial Day, the Marvel Twitter account, did you see this on Twitter?
No.
The Marvel account tweeted something about, like, something about the troops, saying, like, thank you for your service, and had a picture of Captain America. And people got really upset about that for good reason. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the new Captain America comic, the one that's being written currently.
Mm-hmm. I know this, where this is going.
Captain America is a Nazi, and he works for Hydra now. Which, I know people are mad about this. I'm not caught up. I'm not current with the comics, but I do. I'm aware of that storyline, and it is infuriating because Captain America would never do that.
Captain America away from me and make him into a Nazi.
Captain America would never do that. Captain America is not in Hydra ever. Full stop.
No, no, no.
It's really irritating. So that stinks. But I choose to ignore that and block it out. And it's not in my personal...
That's not part of my Captain America reality.
Yeah, it's not part of my...
And it never will
be. The canon of my heart. Yeah. So...
I like the Captain America. Canon of Captain America does not involve that, so
we do not recognize that at all in any way.
It's not recognized here at all.
My Captain America is Chris Evans.
Yeah,
I like the other Chris's too. Let's just throw them out there. The other Chris's are good. Chris Pine is very good.
There are so many Chris's though. Are you a Pine nut?
I'm not. He's. I mean, I like him, but I'm. He's not like one of my favorites. My favorite Chris is Chris Evans. By far. I really liked him in Sunshine. I liked him in Snowpiercer. I liked him...
Oh, don't get me started on Snowpiercer, Kim. I think it might end our friendship.
And that indie movie with Jenny Slate that he just made, that's really cute. Because they were a real-life couple at the time.
I don't know. I might like Chris Pine more. I feel I might be a Pine Nut. I don't know.
Chris Pine is really
charming. I just really like that people have a name for being a fan of him, and it's Pine Nut, which is adorable, but... So I kind of just want to be one.
Just for the name? Just for the tag? But I mean, he's great.
He's like, yeah, it's top two, and it's hard for me to decide, but I feel like I like him a lot.
He's a great damsel in the Wonder Woman.
Yeah, it was really, he was really, really great in Wonder Woman. And I appreciate him taking that role and obviously being into it and being really proud of the movie from what I can see.
So I know that because this is a modern Wonder Woman movie, they're not going to do some of the cheesier aspects of Wonder Woman, like the invisible jet, which I'm glad of, because that invisible jet.
Okay, it's so funny though when she's just like sitting in an invisible chair flying.
Because she's not invisible.
Right.
She's not invisible, so why have an invisible jet?
It seems like it should be more like the Harry Potter's cloak, where when you're in it or under it, you should also be invisible.
Yes.
Because now you're just like sitting in like an invisible seat in an invisible plane. But people can still see you, so...
So you're just sitting in the air coming at people.
Surprise is ruined? I don't know.
There's no element of surprise if you're just in the air.
I feel like this is like
a smaller target.
An old-timey misstep.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous. They keep the lasso, which is classic and great.
The lasso looks really cool in the movie, too.
It is cool. It's a cool update. And obviously her classic uniform has been updated. Her headpiece, they kept that, which is cool. I think Gal Gadot looks great as Wonder Woman, and it's great. She does a great job. She's taken her role as Wonder Woman in the movie and outside of the movie very seriously, which I appreciate. And I really think it's added to people really loving the character because it's her. And I can't really imagine anyone playing Wonder Woman now.
Yeah, I wasn't sure whenever I first heard about her.
Me too.
And then, now that I've seen it, and then I saw some interviews that she did, and she talked about how while she was filming... That she, like she said, basically, I think some scenes in the movie she'll look thinner and have less muscle, and then other ones she has more because over the time of filming, she gained a lot of muscle and just looked stronger, and that she was really into it.
I remember seeing on her Instagram where she was like flexing her muscles because she was like really proud of all the progress she was making. One thing I wish that they had Well, I don't know how they would put this in without being cheesy, but I do love the little spin that Linda Carter used to do. Like, Wonder Woman! And she would, like, spin around and magically change.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
That would be hard to put
Not to give anything
movie.
Away in the new movie, but she just kind of, like, always has her outfit under her clothes. Like, classic superhero stuff. So, it's not really, like, an issue. She doesn't have to, like, spin around.
She doesn't have to spin to
Wonder
dress
Woman.
Into it.
Yeah. She always just is Wonder Woman, and sometimes she covers it up.
Right.
Which I think works better for the character, too, because she is Wonder Woman. That's something, too... about Superman and Wonder Woman is that their alter egos aren't the superhero. Their alter egos are the regular
people. The person they're pretending to be while they're not letting you know they're a superhero.
Where all the other superheroes, their alter egos are the superheroes.
That's true.
Or a lot of superheroes. I don't know. It might be like more evenly split than that. But I always find that really interesting. And Wonder Woman is one of the most powerful heroes. I did get really into Justice League Unlimited, which was the animated series by DC. Mm-hmm. And I've watched that, which is... fantastic. If anyone's ever interested in checking that out, I would highly recommend it. Wonder Woman in that series is really great. She's one of the strongest ones, and they feature her a lot, and she's always, like, taking out villains that Superman and Batman are struggling with. I really hope that they keep that going in the new Justice League movie that's supposed to come out next year. Or is it coming out this year? It's next year.
Yeah, I don't know when that comes out.
I think it's next year.
It was fun to see that teaser they had, though.
Yeah, there's really a trailer of it.
The trailer, yeah.
So I'm sure she's prominently featured in it because she is one of the strongest.
Do you know who's directing that one or who directed it?
I don't know. I'm assuming it's some dude.
You're going to say, I'll have to see when the movie's out what I notice about the way that they treat her on camera when she's with all those men. Like, if it's a, it won't be Patty Jenkins, so it'll be.
Did you notice that at all, the little bit that she was in Batman versus Superman? The scene was so short, and it was mostly a battle scene.
It was just a battle. I'm not sure. I'd have to rewatch it to know. But yeah, it was just such a short little intro with a battle, so maybe not as much opportunity, but a whole movie where she's there. I'll wonder. I'll have to see what that ends up being like from a different director.
A lot of these superhero movies, most notably recently the Flash movie, was given to Josh Tank, who previously, I think his only director credit is like an MTV show, one episode of an MTV show.
Really weird.
Maybe a little bit more than that, but that's like par for the course for these movies. Like Colin Trevorrow, James Gunn, who else? I know there are a lot. I know people are listening thinking like this person. I mean, there's just so many directors that have been given these huge budget, big superhero movies after having very little under their belt. And a lot of people leading up to Wonder Woman were bringing up the fact that Patty Jenkins only has one indie movie credit to her name before taking on this big budget project. But that's normal for men. Men are given these opportunities all the time. So
plus, excuse me, like there's an Oscar win attached to it.
Yeah. So yeah, it's way more reputable and did way better than most.
Yeah, it's not an episode of an MTV show.
No. So,
I mean, no offense, dude, whatever, maybe you're great, but it doesn't make you more qualified.
Yeah. Well, the point is, like, it just shouldn't be seen as more or less of a gamble than somebody.
Yeah, like she's being questioned because she's only done this, but then men have done less all the time and nobody brings it up.
Yeah, you should give the job to the person who can do the best job. And that's obviously not been the case in the past.
So what we're saying is if you haven't seen Wonder Woman yet, you should support it so we get more movies like that. That's it for this episode of Hey Bestie. Like, subscribe, review us on iTunes, and recommend to a friend. Check out HeyBestie.com for show notes.
If you have any questions or just want to reach out, it's hello@HeyBestie.com. Have a great week, and we will see you next time. We're getting more Wonder Woman, right? There's going to be another one.
Yeah, I think so.
Wonder Woman 2, Wonder Woman 3.
Wonder Woman 47.
Wonder Woman 6. Even more wonder.
Still wondrous.
Wonderful after all these years.
Can you believe how wonderful she still is? That's a one way down the line. Yeah.